Today, we're going to talk about activating the church. And the Bible says that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. So this is a promise. And in Revelation, we see this happening in the form of this great angel that's coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. So the whole earth will be lighted with the glory of the gospel. And of course, the gospel in the framework of the three angels' messages, we understand if we read Revelation 14. It says the everlasting gospel was preached, and then there are the three angels' messages coming. So, this is going to happen. And when we talk about the whole gospel going to the world, we sometimes talk about the latter rain. How many of you have ever heard of that term, the latter rain? Yeah, you're familiar with that? Ellen White says, I could show this from the Bible, but for the sake of time, I'll just use a quote from Ellen White. It was so that there were two types of rains in the Old Testament. There was the former rain, which came in the fall, and then there was the latter rain, which came in the springtime. And the former rain, you know, just as the farmer, he was plowing his field and he was sowing the seeds, and then he needed the rain, he needed the water in order for it to start growing. And then he was also dependent upon the latter rain for the harvest to ripen. And of course, the harvest in the Bible is a second coming. And so in the same way, the apostles, when the gospel was beginning to be preached in all the world during the time of the apostles at the time of Jesus, then they received the early rain. But then at the latter time, we will receive the latter rain. Ellen White says, Acts of the Apostles, under the figure of the early and the latter rain, that falls in eastern lands at seed time and harvest, the Hebrew prophets foretold the bestowal of spiritual grace in extraordinary measure upon God's church. The outpouring of the Spirit in the days of the apostles was the beginning of the early or former rain, and glorious was the result. To the end of time, the presence of the Spirit is to abide with the true church. But near the close of earth's harvest, a special bestowal of spiritual grace is promised to prepare the church for the coming of the Son of Man. This outpouring of the Spirit is likened to the falling of the latter rain. All right. So when the apostles... Now, we want to receive this latter rain, don't we? So how do we do that? Well, let's look at the apostles. Before they received the early rain, of course, they united and they prayed for it. But notice, sometimes when we think about the early rain, we think that what they only did was that they only sat in a room and they prayed, and they didn't do anything else. And that's what we should do as Christians also. We should, as Adventists, we're waiting for the latter rain, and then we sit in our church and we just pray, Lord, please send the rain and let it come. And then we wait until this great spiritual blessing comes and we get inspired, and then we go out and preach. Sometimes we have this idea, but that's not what they did. If we look in Luke chapter 24, if someone can read those verses. Luke 24, verse 46 through 53. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 53.
And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witness of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen.
Wow. So were they only sitting at home? No, they were to tarry in the city, but they were there. They were not only at home, they were actually in the temple every day. And what were they doing there? Were they just sitting? Or no, they were praising and they were blessing God. They were actually doing what they could in their sphere to be active in mission to the people that were there. And then they continued to pray also. And then as they did that, they partook more and more of the Holy Spirit. You know, we could have different measures of the Spirit, as we saw. They partook more and more of the Spirit until they were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. Okay?
What blessing here to translate it? Do you bless God?
Well, it's more like, it's like praising God. Notice Acts of the Apostles, page 54. In many places, consecrated men and women may be seen communicating to others the light that has made plain to them the way of salvation through Christ. And as they continue, notice this, and as they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, you're noticing? As they continue to let their light shine, as did those who were baptized with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, they received more and still more of the Spirit's power. Thus, the earth is to be lighted with the glory of God. Understand? So, the latter rain is not something that, oh, we have nothing of the Holy Spirit, and then all of a sudden we have 100%. It is a gradual receiving more and more of the Spirit until it is full. And this is a daily matter. How do we do it? Well, we continue to let our light shine. We continue to do evangelism. And then, in this way, the whole world will be lighted with the glory of God. Yes?
So it's no single event, because we're still leaking, right?
Right.
So we get that rain.
Exactly. So the latter rain is like, now that the church has really understood that they need the infilling constantly, and the more they are filled, the more sins they will also remove from their lives, and the more they can receive of the Holy Spirit, and then it's like a step, and they develop in their character, and then finally the whole world will be lighted. Acts of the Apostles, page 55. Instead of looking towards some future time when through a special endowment of spiritual power they will receive a miraculous fitting up for soul winning, they are yielding themselves daily to God that He may make them vessels meet for His use. So sometimes we think of the latter rain that, oh, it's some kind of lightning that comes from heaven and it transforms these pew warmers into super evangelists. Now that's not going to happen. That's not how the latter rain works. The pew warmers needs to get out of their pews, they need to step out of their comfort zones, they need to start doing what they can, and then they'll receive more of the Spirit, and then they'll receive more of the Spirit, and more of the Spirit, and eventually they will be the light that God wants them to be. So this is a very important point, and I can't stress this enough, because sometimes we wonder, what is God waiting for, you know? What is God waiting for? Is He waiting for some great prophetic event? Oh, these end time events that we're looking at, you know? And there is some kind of, oh, now the Pope is doing this, or now someone is, America is doing that. Maybe now this is what God is waiting for. And when that has happened, then the latter rain will be poured out. That's not what's going to happen. That's not what God is waiting for. He's not waiting for the Pope. He's not waiting for Obama or some other president to do something. He's waiting for his church. He's waiting for us. Notice what he says. What it says. Evangelism, page 699. I would have liked you to remember or to memorize this passage because it's just so tremendous. Evangelism, page 699. She says, when we have entire wholehearted consecration to the service of Christ, God will recognize the fact by an outpouring of his Spirit without measure. That's the latter rain. Then she says these words, but this will not be while the largest portion of the church are not laborers together with God. So question, will the latter rain be poured out before the largest part of the church will do evangelism? The answer is absolutely no. Sometimes you have these small fringe groups that pop up and they say, now we have the latter rain is falling on us, just you know, a few people here and there. And that those are the ones that are going to call out other people and they're going to give the loud cry. This is not true. The Bible says the entire church, or Ellen White says, the entire church, rather. The largest portion, thank you. This is a correct thing. But it is the largest portion, so not the entire church. But the largest portion of the church. It's not just some little fringe movement that's going to finish the work. It is actually the church. It is the largest portion of the church. And so this, to me, is a great commission. Because this means that my duty, if I want to see Jesus return in my generation, I need to activate church members, don't I? I need to train church members. I mean, I can go do my work and do evangelism myself. That's very important. But I feel called also to activate church members, to teach them how to work. Because if they don't work, then Jesus is not going to come back in this generation. Testimonies 2, page 165. If all the church would come up to the help of the Lord, we would see such a revival of his work as we have not hitherto witnessed. God requires this of you and of each member of the church. So it's true, not everyone might join this movement. There will be a sifting time also. Some people will leave, some people will come in. But the activation of the church members is crucial if we want to receive the latter rain. Long has God waited for the spirit of service to take possession of the whole church, so that everyone shall be working for him according to his ability. And then she says, when the members of the church of God do their appointed work in their needy fields, at home and abroad, in fulfillment of the gospel commission, the whole world will soon be warned, and the Lord Jesus will return to this earth with power and great glory. I hope that this inspires you. I hope this doesn't make you discouraged. Because we might look at our churches and we might say, oh, my church is dead. And oh, my church, how is this ever going to happen that the largest part of the church is going to be mobilized for service? Well, let's look at it from the other side instead. This is going to happen. Jesus has promised that it will happen. So let us go out, let us inspire other people. And in our third session, we'll talk about how to get your church on fire. It is something I believe each of us can do. So let's take a quick break after this. Are there any questions about this?
I once heard that Sister Elijah also, please prove me on that and correct me if I'm wrong, that we had the chance that Jesus could have returned earlier, but there is a certain time defined as when he will come anyhow, so he could come earlier, but he will not come later.
Oh, yeah, if you take the mic.
True? Okay.
Okay, so the question is,
or the,
yeah, it was, you're saying that Ellen White says that Jesus could have come earlier,
yeah,
but there is a fixed time when he will, when it will not be later.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I, well, that could probably be true. It is, because the Bible says we can hasten the coming in 2 Peter. We can hasten the coming of the Lord. But of course, at some point in time, he's going to finish the work.
Yeah.
But I think, though, that if we refuse to do the work, he will send others to do it.
Yeah.
And he will... I see it more as a promise that God's church will arise.
Yeah.
It will happen. It's just a question, do I want to be part of those who arise, or do I want to be part of those who will have to leave the church? So, yeah. All right, well, let's take a break. Yeah, 10 minutes, and then 20 minutes too, we'll talk about the pastor's job description, and then we will look at the mission team, and then or how to get your church on fire, and then we will have the test. But my challenge to you is, at least that I hope that we've seen in this session, is that it, will you take the challenge to actually be part of activating the church, to not just look at the church as some byproduct, but actually having a burden for the church to be active in evangelism. That's what I hope to inspire. Is that your desire?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the promise that you will pour out the Spirit. And Lord, we yearn for your Spirit. We pray that it will that your Holy Spirit will be poured out without measure. But I pray for the church. I pray for our local churches. I pray for the churches all over, for the world church. Lord, we see wonderful things happen, wonderful things that are happening. But Lord, we also see drowsiness. We also see slumber, a spiritual slumber. And we pray that you will help us to catch the vision, not to view the church in to try to condemn it or to try to attack it, but help us to see that we are part of the church and we can help others to be active. And when we have this active spirit in the church, when people are have a missionary spirit, that is when we will see you come. So we long for this day, and we pray that you'll help us to effectively activate the churches, in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.